Welcome to Art Heroes with JPH, where we believe art can heal, connect, and galvanize. I'm your host, Joanna Patrice Haggerty. On this show, I am honored to have some of the nation's most innovative leaders, artists, and creative business owners to share their unique and valuable experiences, processes, practical tips, and inspirations. Today with me is Ken Treese, who is a multifaceted New Orleans artist slash muralist. From timeless fine art pieces sold nationwide to one of the largest historical murals in New Orleans, she is most known for captivating lifelike portraits and history in her art. She is on her way to becoming a nationally renowned artist. Inspired to be an artist from the ripe age of six, she graduated in 2010 from the University of New Orleans with a bachelor's degree in fine arts and a minor in business. She uses her knowledge of business and her art skills to launch her establishment, Ken Six Studio, in 2015. She was featured artist for the Essence Music Festival in 2018, amongst several prestigious art awards throughout her career. She wanted to inspire upcoming creatives to know not to give up because creativity is needed in the world. I brought Ken Treese on to talk about her work as an artist and creative change maker. But first, thanks so much for being here.
I appreciate you guys for having me, for sure.
Yes, for anyone who's listening, this is take two. We had some tech issues last time, so we're going to make it work this time. And for the audience, please just say your last name. I just didn't want to mess it up. I'm so worried about it.
It's Sheck Snyder.
Sheck Snyder. I thought I would get it right the 20th time, but I just thought, why don't we just let her say it for us? Well, truly, it's such an honor to have you here. And I always start with the conversation, where did this inspiration to be an artist and creative come from? And your bio even says, from the ripe age of six. So let's wind that clock back.
Yes. When I was six, I was always kind of an introvert when I was a young kid. I'm still like that, and as an adult, very social person, but I like to spend a lot of my time alone, for sure. But when I was young, I had older siblings, and you know how that goes. When your siblings are older than you, you're not their best friends most of the time, you know. They don't want to play with you. You're not that interesting. But yeah, I had older siblings. My siblings are about 9 years older than me. So I didn't have that in-house, you know, a kid to play with type of thing. And so I used to always have coloring books. I had tons of coloring books. My mom would buy me coloring books, and I wanted to one day create one myself. So what I used to do when I was younger, I would start like just taking my school paper and tracing the coloring books, tracing the pictures. I never colored in any of them. I just traced the pictures on paper. And I was like, man, I can do this. You know, even at that age, I was kind of like, let me try to do it without doing that. So, you know, I worked very hard just practicing, trying to draw the pictures out of the coloring book instead of tracing them. And eventually, I was able to effectively draw exactly what I was seeing. And my first drawing, I don't know if you guys remember, but my first drawing was lamb chops.
Yes.
And I moved into Mickey Mouse. It was things like that that were just very shapely. Like, it reminded me of just normal shapes. And from there, I just kept practicing. And I got better and better over the years. So,
I mean, I love the innovative viewpoint, and I think that that's something with almost all creative entrepreneurs. They have some sort of innovative viewpoint. And for you, I love that learning to draw through tracing coloring books made sense for you. It gave you such a foundation for that and a little bit of that safe space for your introverted self. I was very much that way, playing in creativity in my room, even though I had a brother 3 years older. He didn't love me that much either, right? So I had to entertain myself.
Right.
And art is such an amazing outlet for that. So I'm curious, how does your family respond to art as a career, right? That's usually something that either people have an easy time of in their family, or it's a little bit more challenging to convince them.
Yeah, it was very challenging. Honestly, as supportive as my family is, we, mm-hmm. you know, we come from a different background. We didn't come from a background of entrepreneurs or people, you know, we came from the traditional go to school, get a job kind of mindset. So of course my family was like, you're gonna do what? It wasn't until I was seriously telling my mom, hey, you know, it was time. She was saying, my mom loves me. She's probably one of my biggest fans right now. She loves me to death. But, you know, reality was, you know, you need to be able to take care of yourself. So we come from an era of starving artists kind of being the thing that people looked at when you say you want to do art. It's like nobody's doing that. Nobody around you is doing that. So how are you going to do it kind of thing? So it wasn't until I was just a rebel at heart, not really one of those kids that wanted to follow the path, you know. So I became that kind of an adult. And my mom used to tell me, you know, she would say, like, what do you think you're going to do, you know, with your life career-wise? Like, what do you want to do? I initially was thinking that I wanted to be a psychologist, a clinical psychologist. I'm very good with people, wanted to work with kids. So that was the path I was initially wanting to take. But again, that was not one of those things that I would do for free. I loved it, but it's not something I would do for free. The only thing I would ever do for free was art. Mm. And it was because it was therapy for me at the time. So my mom was like, well, I told her, I was like, you know, I want to be an artist, but I don't really know how to do it. And she was like, yeah, she was kind of hesitant. She was like, but you have to have a backup plan. You know, I don't know, you know, that's not a job. It's not a real job. So she just was speaking from her knowledge of art as a career. It wasn't
right in her societal beliefs. A personal attack on your style or your talent. And that's part of the challenge. And what I love about you too, Kentrice, is like, it's clear. You're just like, this is what I got to do. So I love that you were in school for psychology, right? Didn't you start school for psychology? And then we're like, no, this is not it. You
have to pivot. I'm not doing this. Yeah.
So I'm curious, why the business side, right? Because most artists don't often think about that part of it. So what inspired you to get the degree in fine arts and then the minor in business?
You know what? The degree came from me just not wanting to do anything else. And I was going to fail at college if I did anything else. So I was like, you know, I don't want to fail school. But the only thing I know how to do is art. So I just tried to find out, how can I do something that I actually like? Because this is the only way that I'm going to graduate. You know, that was my mindset. I'm like, I was always a smart kid, always was top of my class and everything. But, you know, college is different. You don't have that structure that you have when you're in grade school. You don't have somebody telling you, hey, you got to get up in the morning and go to class. And this is the class you have to go to. And if you don't come, we're going to call your parent. It's not like that in college. It's like, you don't come, so what? We're just going to fail, you know?
But you've made the priority to really focus on, again, this creative side and the business side. And I really want to say, I even had a guest come on from Ireland, and she coaches artists recently. And she said, they don't teach business in art school either. And I was like, no, what a tragedy. So I just wanted to highlight that for anybody listening. Like, if you can even just take some outside of school business classes, anything you can do to learn that structure, because I believe that's probably what helped you get to the place of getting paid for your first mural and things, right?
Yeah. Actually, the business side that I learned in college wasn't the thing that made me say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this for a living. I really had a job, a really good job, yes, for about 7 years. And I got into a position where something went wrong and my wages were being garnished and things like that. And I had nothing. So I was like, okay, I have nothing, but I have this art that I always ran to for comfort. And, you know, so I had a friend of mine, he was opening up a restaurant. He actually put the business part in my head, because we grew up together. You know, he was opening up a business, and just me watching his process as I'm creating his mural made me say, hey, I mean, if he can do this, I can do that. You know, I've always been that type of person, you know, just believing in myself in that way, you know, and me seeing, just being inspired by my friend and people that would come around that were also business owners. It is very important who you hang around when you're trying to, when you're aspiring to have something or be something. Like, placing yourself around it, it gives you that spark, it gives you that fire. So I actually got that part from him. I just never was a I always knew I would run a business, but I just never knew what it would be.
Well, you were just waiting for the inspiration. And is so important to say that from a business perspective, you do have to be really thoughtful of your network. Those you keep close to you, those you collaborate with, those that support you, right? That's a really important part of growing a business. Passion definitely comes outside of us, right?
Yeah. That's a fact.
So let's talk a little bit about how Kinsick Studio really then evolved to where it is now.
So that same friend, at the time, we were bartering services. It was kind of like he opened a business. He needed something. He needed it to look away, and I needed customers. I needed clients. I didn't have any clients at the time. I had just quit my job, so I was like, "Yeah, I don't have any money. I don't have any clients." He's like, "Okay, I have this big network of people in this restaurant with nothing going on but the food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can help each other." And that was what we did. So my business, I started the business, but I didn't do much with it in 2015. And in 2016, that was the time that the opportunity came for me and him to work together. And he did have a network of people that were social media influencers and politicians, things like that. So me doing the work for him kind of opened up the door for everybody else to come in and see. And they're like, "Who did this? You know, who did this work? This is a lot of work on your walls." And so from there, I got connected with different people, and it was kind of a word of mouth thing. Till now, I do little to no ads whatsoever, because ever since 2016, I've been getting work solely from word of mouth.
And I think people underestimate the like real networking nowadays, right? Everybody's trying to build social media. And great, if you want to do that, that's amazing. It's a lot of energy and work, and not always a great...
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not always the best yield. Regardless, we could have a convo about other people's businesses. But being willing to get your foot in the door, being willing to do something for free, for cheap, for work trade, to get that experience. And, you know, you have to do that with discernment, right? You don't want to be 20 years in your career still thinking you have to give everybody the free thing or whatever. Yeah.
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't do anything for free anymore.
You shouldn't, my dear.
I barely talk to people for free, but
I feel privileged like... then. No, I love it.
That you saying the part about discernment, that is very true. So if people are going to, sometimes you have to give a little, as you know, especially when you're just getting started. But what you do need to know is who to do that for, when to do it, and how much free work to give. You know, you don't want it to be a thing where a person or people are devaluing what you offer, what your service or your product, because you're giving it away. So you have to know that. And I believe that's where what we was talking about the last time about what I do, what I would suggest anybody else to do is something I learned later on, is when you do decide to give something for free away, still draft up an invoice. Draft up an invoice, write in the invoice the price or the value of what your service or your product is, and then you put in a discount line. You discount it so that even the person you're doing it for understands the value of what you're giving them for free. You know
it's interesting, we have this similar background in psychology too, and one of the things that I did when I did my mental health work was what they call predicting. So this idea of, if you're getting into the process of, this is what it's going to be like when I am making money, right? Your body, your mind, your heart, all of that's going to start to get into that. And you can say, hey, I would love to do this for free this time. I'm going to send you an invoice that'll show you what this would cost next time.
Would it cost you next time? Yes, right. Yes, you gotta let them know that, because the reality of it is, especially when you're in creative fields, the reality of it is people don't really know the value when it comes to like monetarily or how much it would actually cost. They don't know how much it's worth. I've had people come to me several times and want me to do a mural for $500. And I'm looking
at babe, I can't even afford materials.
I can't even afford to get the supplies to do this mural, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, you have to, and it's not that they're being insulting, you know?
No, it's an education piece.
Yeah. So you have to educate them for sure.
It's such an important part of business, and it is part of the responsibility of the business owner to say, here is what this costs. This is what this looks like. Okay. I am fascinated. We have to go one of two directions. You tell me, either the Gulf Coast Mural Project or hearing a little bit about this historic mural in New Orleans. Like, what direction are we going in?
Oh, I mean, the Gulf Coast Mural Project was phenomenal, and I love working with kids. That is something I've always wanted to do. But the historical mural has been by far my most challenging piece to date. So I think we can go in that direction.
Right, then we'll end with the Gulf Coast and have it be light and beautiful. I love it.
Yes.
Well, share your story. I'm so fascinated to hear.
But yeah, of course, you guys know I did start a interior-exterior painting company as well, where we paint commercial and residential properties. And we were doing a job for a guy, Troy Henry. He's into politics. His family's very known family. They've done a lot of things historically in New Orleans and for New Orleans. His grandfather was actually the first Black president of the union over on the river. Yeah. So that was a thing where we went to work for him to paint his offices. We were doing just some regular commercial painting in his offices, and he called me in the office one day. I had never met the guy a day in my life, and he called me in the office one day, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing, Kendrisa?" I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" and he was like, "Why didn't you tell me you were such a phenomenal artist?" I said, "Oh, I didn't know." And he laughed, and he was like, "Oh, no." He said, "I know. I've seen your work." And I was like, "Well, you know, I came here to do one job. I didn't think that was one of the things I was going to get into here. So I didn't think to mention it." And he was like, "Well, I have a project for you if you're willing to do it." So he's like, I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm always excited to do artwork." I'm like, "Yeah, I want to do that." I end up going to see. He's like, "I have this space. It's a big wall. It just looks nasty, and I want to put my family's legacy on it." I was like, "Oh, that's cool." You know, again, I didn't know his family, so I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. You know, that would be cool." He said, "Can you go look at this space?" I'm like, "Okay." And I'm thinking, "Okay, it's this little wall. You know, I haven't done anything like this." I get there, it's 254 feet of space. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've never done this before, and it's outside." So that was new for me too, because I've done things outside, but it was nothing bigger than 12, 20 feet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I go back to him. I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Did you see the space?" I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm all excited." And I'm like, "No." You know? And so, he taught me about his family, which they were very interesting. I was very intrigued by it. And he even let me meet his mom. I went to her house, and she gave me pictures. And it was so much that they gave me to put in the mural that I needed another 254 feet, you know. So I kind of crammed in as much as I could to tell the story. And I did that project 95% by myself. So it was 254 feet, almost an entire city block long and about 30 feet high. That was one of those things. It took me, if I could have stood on the project for the entire time, it would have been about a consistent nine and a half month project for me. But everything that could have went wrong did. And it took me about almost 2 years, like a year and maybe 6 or 7 months to complete it.
Wow, what an amazing learning experience. And I'll have to, if for the people listening, I'll make sure in the show notes or things, we'll get a link to that. So for the last like minute or two, what are some of the highlights with the Gulf Coast Mural Project? Because that's how I know you, through Dana and all of them coming on and speaking amazing things about you and your work. So what would you like to share about that real quick?
What I can share about that was the most impactful for me is the opportunity to be for those kids someone that I never had. Again, I only had inspiration from coloring books and things like that at my age. I never knew what an artist was. I never knew what a muralist was. And I never knew it was something that you can actually do for a living. So for me to be that for those kids and to give them that kind of inspiration was probably the highlight of the entire project, and for them to be so interested in it after that and to let me know the things that they learned from me. I think that for me, I couldn't trade that for anything else in the world.
That is a mic drop moment. And quickly, can you let people know when they want to learn more about you, stay in contact with your work? What how can they do that?
My work, right now I've been getting into doing, being in different films and things like that. I just did, Harlem Prime. Some of my work, it can be seen in season 7 of Harlem Prime and season 7 of Queen Sugar. Also, you can find me on Instagram at Ken is Art. I pretty much share all of the things that I have going on there. And my website is ken6studio.com. And you can contact, there's my contact there and my email, and there's some examples of my work as well.
Perfect. Kentrice, I would have you on 20 more times. We'll have to get you back soon, but really, thank you for being here today.
I appreciate you guys for having me, for sure. Thanks. Yes. I enjoy myself.
Oh, thanks. And as always, this is Art Heroes with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative artists, entrepreneurs, and thanks for tuning in. And love your show suggestions or any questions you may have. And as always, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.